Well, there we go. I think we're up and running again today. This is Fish and Frank and Radio Fish Inc. What else would it be? It's not like you can change the channel. So, anyway, we're here. We have Jeff in the seat. We've got Captain Kale in his chair. And we got Captain Mike. And there's captains and people all over the place. So, why don't we get Frank to quit playing guitar? Okay, and let's just kiss that off. Yeah, goodbye. Okay. And yes, I know. It gets worse as it goes. Okay. Basically, what brings us here together today is the discussion of Mike and his brother and his family and a large boat and one day on the water.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes.
Yes. We are here.
One day.
Gathered together to discuss.
In the bus.
In the bus.
You must have made it. You're here.
So. Yes. Yeah. Well, almost 12 hours out there. 10 hours. Good 10 hours. So.
Yeah, it got to the point. I actually called him because I was leaving town. I said, Mike, is everything all right? Before I leave town, I just want to make sure the boat's going. Wow. And what happened? 5 seconds later, the battery went dead.
Yeah. Yeah. We tried to start her up, and that was it.
Well, at least that happened at the dock, right?
No, he was out on the water, but we have the switch. Well, never run one battery. You have to have two starting batteries.
Yeah.
So the end of the day, which could have been disastrous, I think, was pulled out of the hole by the addition of the extra battery in the AB
battery
switch.
Did it. Yes.
Nice.
Yep.
So anyway, you guys headed out. Who'd you all have with you?
Well, I have a list here, so I can remember everybody today.
I warned him yesterday. I wanted to do a show about his trip, and I figured we could all critique it.
Don't leave anybody out.
Don't start right out.
Well, it's my brother. He used to live down here, and he moved back to Indiana. They were back down for a week.
What's his name?
Tom.
Tom, okay. So the brother Tom. Brother Tom.
Brother Tom.
Yes, this is feeling more hallowed as we go.
Yes, yes, I'll try to speak a little deeper. So
okay,
okay. More hallowed. And his son Quentin and daughter Lindy, and then there was Joe, who's my other niece's husband, and Dustin is Lindy's husband, and then their son Cooper.
How old?
Ten. Yeah.
I was a little worried, but, you know, because you guys left the dock, what, about 7 o'clock?
7:30? 7:30, right in that range there. And
It was 6-something or 7 when I was getting ready to leave town, and I was like, boy, you guys ain't back yet. It was either, have you ever noticed when somebody goes out fishing, if they go out and they catch a few fish, they're out, they're back in 4, 5, 6 hours.
Yeah, usually a pretty quick trip.
Right. But if you're catching a lot of fish, the trip usually gets a little longer.
Yeah.
But the longest trips,
usually the ones where you're trying to pull something
out. The ones where you
don't
catch anything.
Yeah. See, I knew it. There was no prompting on that because I can tell you when you go out and, well, let's try one more spot. No, we'll try here. Well, let's try here. And I'm thinking you either had a great day or it was really horrible. And I didn't know which one to go with at that time.
It was a great day.
That's good.
You know, and I was a little worried. Everybody, I didn't know how the kids, nephews and nieces were going to be able to use the equipment. But everybody, even 10-year-old Cooper, he was great with it.
And they come down from Michigan, right?
Northern Indiana.
So
they're from Indiana.
Yeah,
and
so you don't know how.
Now, how many of them were holding it upside down, reeling backwards?
Not a one of them.
Really?
Not a one of them.
It must be pretty far north in Indiana.
Just about the Michigan line, yeah.
And you don't know how they're going to take the heat either.
Well, my brother, they all lived, Lindy and my brother and Quint all lived down here in Northport. And they fished down here and went to the beach as children and stuff. They moved back up about 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, but 10, 12 years, long time to be out of Florida sun.
Well, yeah.
Especially when you're getting wintertime.
Yeah.
I mean, in snow, the blood thickens up pretty quick.
Well, that's what, you know, they all came down with fairly good tans, and they didn't get, you know, some of them got burnt feet while we were out there. But
isn't it amazing everybody forgets to do sunblock on their feet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it hurts the worst there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So top of your feet being sunburned, only thing worse is the bottom.
Can't put shoes on.
I've got it once as a kid that was bad enough to where I keep my feet covered, period. You will not see me on that boat in bare feet ever.
Yeah. Not a good plan.
But Yeah, we did well out there.
So you came down the Peace River. Where'd you stop first?
Right around 75 Bridge there. A little pocket back there, fishing up against the mangroves.
Anything good?
Yeah, my brother got a keeper redfish out of there.
Cool.
Cooper, he got a, I'm pretty sure, we didn't measure it, but I'm pretty sure it was a keeper snook.
Cool.
And, you know, right off the...
It's a great way to start the day.
Yeah,
with
Claudine's new pole.
Yeah, oh, so there you go. Yeah.
Claudine let her new pole out of her sight?
Yeah, I had to ask her, you know, but yeah.
Before or after the trip?
Before.
Okay.
Before.
You actually asked before the trip, right?
Yeah, I said, is it all right if we take yours so everybody's covered? She said, yeah.
Because I was thinking, maybe it's like government work where it's easier to get forgiveness than permission.
Yeah. Beg for forgiveness.
Nah, right away he hooked up with that snook and... we caught a few mangroves in there, but I think we had one or two that we could keep. And we kept the redfish.
Yeah.
And
how long were you there? Hour, two, or three?
Hour and a half, maybe, something like that.
We were quite a few fish.
Yeah. Well, we were looking. We didn't know whether we were going to stay there or we were going to make a mad dash back to the house because there was a big thunderhead coming right at us.
Big, huge storm.
And it just split.
Really?
The biggest part of it went to Northport. The other part went kind of petered out and went off towards
Moses apart the clouds.
Basically, that's what it seemed like.
Wow.
Because I was wondering, because that was a monster storm. I mean, we got blasted here at the store, the house. I never talked to Terry how bad it was, but here in the store, I mean, it was flooding here.
Yeah, I was out that day, too, and I went and hid inside the Mayaca Cutoff.
Yeah.
And... when I got back to the dock, I had talked to one of the FWC guys that were sitting there at Lashley, and he said they took the boat off the water at Harbor Heights and went and hid in the bathroom. They were getting hail and 50-mile-an-hour winds up there.
And he was a quarter mile from there, right in direct line with the storm. And I think, Mike, you're having these haloed moments.
Yeah,
you know, you're hallowed and haloed.
It's that slot there. Yeah. Below 75.
Is it that what it is?
Yeah, that place is a great place to fish for everybody but me. If I go there, I'm not catching anything and it's going to rain. Anybody else goes in there, the clouds go around them and they fill the live well.
A lot of times the storms usually do go the Mayaca and the Peace River and that middle peninsula land gets kind of left out.
Yeah. So, anyway, but you caught some snapping stuff around I-75 and then where'd you head?
We went down to Ponce de Leon to the channel going in there. And
now how was that? It's been slow this year. Did you do any good there?
We caught about a half dozen keeper mangroves. Nothing really too big, maybe 12 inches at the biggest.
How many fish overall?
Well, we wound up
how many did you catch out of ponds?
I think about a half dozen or so.
That was about it?
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get a half dozen snappers?
We were only in there about a couple hours. That was right around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and it got really hot.
Yeah, when you get out of the line of the harbor and get in the back of the mangroves.
Yeah.
It gets real hot back there.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we were running kind of low on shrimp, and Brandon came through, and he had some greenbacks in there. He said he'd part with them if he didn't use them all up back in the canal. So when he came back out, we got what he had left, and it was time to get out of there then. It slowed down. The tide had changed, so we started coming in, so we headed up to...
Did you happen to see what the water temperature was back there on the depth finder?
No, I didn't. Yeah. Just headed up to Algerbean Bridge, and that's where we finished out the rest of the day.
Now, you caught some nice snappers at Algerbean, though.
We got snappers up 17 inches at Algerbean.
Did you get any whiting up there?
Not a one.
Really?
Got a tarpon.
Cool. How big was he?
Maybe 15 pounds or something.
Who hooked up with that?
Joe got that one.
Cool.
He went around the boat about twice and made a beautiful jump right there beside the boat. He jumped two or three times, with one time right beside the boat, and of course he was pretty green and they were trying to get him up to the side of the boat.
What'd you hook him on?
A greenback.
On a greenback, okay.
Yeah. A piece, they were just the small ones, basically the ones that'll stay in the net,
Yeah.
So that was actually pretty cool. So you get there, did you anchor up underneath the car bridges, or were you over by the trestles?
No, we were underneath the new bridge, and the tide was coming in, so.
Well, that's a nice spot to fish.
We were fishing. Yeah, everybody wanted to get out of the sun. And
with the Bimini tops, it's just.
Oh, they didn't, no.
There's no tops. There's no tops.
He had the bus.
I had the bus.
He had the bus, so there's no tops on it. Broiler. I didn't get around to putting the Biminis on it.
Broiler, you know? Yeah.
And we sat out there next to Carl yesterday, and that's all my people would say is, he doesn't have any tops on that. But, you know, while all four of them are huddled under that little piece of shade that I have on a T-top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No doubt. This time of year, that's it.
I've got some Bimini tops. We got to put. I was planning on putting one or two Biminis on that boat because it's hot out there right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wonderful in our brand new studios here in downtown Charlotte Harbor.
Beautiful.
I mean, here we have, you know, AC and everything's all working. This is actually pretty cool.
It blowing right up my back.
Cool.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
So anyway, you got up, anchored up underneath the bridge. What did you start? Shrimp and greenbacks.
Yeah, we started out using the rest of our shrimp, and but we only had maybe a dozen and a half left.
You didn't get yelled at for anchoring up underneath
the
bridge this time.
I didn't. Wow. No, nobody came through and screamed.
No,
at
the last time you anchored up under 41 Bridge, and they came through and said you're not allowed to do that.
That's absolutely not true either. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just somebody. You must have had a sign on me. You know, mess with me today because I really want to be upset by some goofy guy who has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah, they went right down the line and told everybody to move out from underneath there. So.
Because you were underneath the 41 bridge, and they said you can't anchor here because there's some kind of emergency cable.
9/11 cable goes underneath there, and if you hook that and tear it up, it's going to shut down 9/11 in Charlotte County.
So, I think we put a better cable in than that.
I would.
I think 911 needs to be shut down if all they did was go across and drop a phone line down there.
Well, why didn't they run it across the pipe that runs down the whole
They've got all kinds of electrical conduits.
Yeah.
But I think this is just some cop who made up something.
I think it is, yeah.
I think he was just going, I don't want anybody underneath the bridge today. And he just made something up. Because I've been...
They're in the shade and comfortable. Go get them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we were looking for that day, too. We only wanted to get out of the sun. And fishing was kind of slowed way down by then.
But at Elgibene, it started pretty good. What did you start out catching?
Just slow. We started right off with mangroves, and I think we did get one small snook out of there.
Cool.
but most of them were in the area between the trestle and the bridge itself.
Yeah.
On that kind of flat area there. So.
Is that where you hooked the tarpon?
Yeah, same place. We never moved once we got underneath there, except while the wind was blowing down the river and the tide was going up the river.
Always a nice anchoring position.
Yeah, so we were floating around back and forth underneath there, bumping off the...
If you get the tide and the wind to cooperate at any of our bridges, you won't catch anything.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Now, but all in all, pretty good day. A lot of mangrove snappers, a tarpon, a couple of snook, keeper redfish.
Right. Great day.
And you caught the redfish, some of the snappers, and one of the snook on shrimp. And then when you switched over to whitebait, you got one snook, some snappers, and a tarpon.
Yeah, basically.
So, but what a nice day.
Real nice. And, you know, basically all I did was walk up and down and tie new hooks on
being Captain Mike.
Yeah, being Captain Mike, basically. Excellent. And it was, you know, they tried to get me to fish. But I said, no, this is great. I've been trying to get them to go out fishing for probably 4 years now, and they just didn't seem to have time, but they always wanted to go. And finally this year I had the boat available to use. And
that's a heck of a boat. That's a 24-foot skiff, and I mean, it's just got tons of room in it.
Well, I thought, you know, seven...
Well, it carries enough people that you need a roster to room.
that's from the 70s here.
But you thought seven people?
Yeah, I thought seven people would be pretty crowded, but it would be getting lines tangled up and stuff, but it really went smooth. And like I said, they all knew what they were doing. They were all putting them right
in. Hey, Barb, are you being quiet?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
they were putting everything right up against the mangroves where you'd want them to throw, cool. You know, so it was really good. Had a great time.
So, Jeff, you were out just the other day.
Yeah, up river riding is what I've been doing.
So what was going on upriver?
The water is still really high up there. We've been come off of good rains that we've been getting, and the river's been maintaining about, at Arcadia, about 5 foot, 4 to 5 foot height, which is pretty high for that area. It should be around 3 feet this time of year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just went on to fishandfranks.com. I was going to check the Peace River and see what it's actually doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, ooh, I got a button messed up there. I'm going to have to fix
that. We've had some good rides. We put in at the Navigator and driven all the way up to the railroad trestle north of Arcadia, which is probably about maybe 15 minutes riding north of there. So
15 minutes north of Arcadia. It takes about a half hour, 40 minutes to get to Arcadia.
It takes about an hour from the Navigator to get to Arcadia on the water.
Yeah,
to the city.
It's was 7 foot.
Yeah.
A little over 7 foot. Dropped down to about 6.5 and is back up to 7 foot
right now.
That's
at Arcadia.
That's in Arcadia.
So, yeah.
And so that's a lot of water in Arcadia because just a couple weeks ago, it was 1.8 feet in Arcadia.
Yeah.
So we've gained 6 feet of water.
And that's a lot of fresh water to enter the harbor.
That's a 6 foot wall of water coming down on us continuously.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's amazing. It's up to 17.9 and which is huge. That's a lot of water flow.
And what's the discharge? 1790 square cubic feet per second.
Yeah, something like that.
That's a lot of water to move through an area in in a second.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But it means good rides, though. It means really nice, cool rides. Sometimes this time of year we go up and typically we'll fish the areas where the water's washed out into the cow pastures and fish for bass and stuff in those areas and actually catching, you know, a few snook here and there. So
now, when you're going up the river, you're fishing. As the water comes up, the fish move out with the higher water.
They move into the areas that are not as turbulent.
Right. They want to go up and they'll lay in the grass. So
sure.
How are you fishing them up in there? Jerk baits? Worms?
Rebel poppers.
Working the surface.
Yes. Got to almost because there's so much exposed pasture and grass and everything together. So you almost got to work the top of the water. In the morning, you can use the rebel poppers and the frogs and stuff like that. The afternoon, you kind of want to switch to live bait and, you know, free line of shiner is a lot of times what I'll do, or try to rig up a bait that'll work just the top surface of the water. And
now, I usually find there's not much good bass fishing below Horse Creek.
Not too much.
So down the Navigator, that's pretty much kind of salt. Right now it'd be bass. It'd be fresh water,
but
I still don't find a lot of bass around there.
No, and it's going to be a hit and miss type thing. You're more likely to get a nice big freshwater catfish down there.
Yeah,
you know,
I can
we
see
got
that.
About four
big
or
gar.
Yeah, we got about four or five different species of freshwater cats, so you know you're real likely to catch one of those in the river around the Navigator area.
Yeah, I think if I was going to go freshwater fishing for bass, I'd just trailer the boat around to 760, drop in at 760, and then you get the snook, the bass, the tarpon, and they're all laying right there in the same places.
Yeah.
You know, you catch a snook, you catch a bass, you catch a tarpon, it's all pretty cool right up there.
Yeah. South Gulf Cove, another good spot for that, three different kinds of fish like that, fresh and salt water.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when you put in at South Gulf Cove, I was trying to remember.
Well, they got a county ramp out there that's really nice. You got to pay per hour to put in. So, again, if you live here and you boat more than four times a year, buy the pass.
It's worth it. Butterford.
Yeah.
Butterford Park and Boat Ramp. Yeah. It's on fishandfranks.com. If you go to the freshwater ramps and you look down, it's the second one from the bottom, Butterford Ramp. That's the one I would take because that's right there by the bridge.
Yeah.
And you can make that, you know, you put in and go to the right, go back up and get up the other side of 771.
Yeah.
And there's some nice freshwater fish up there.
Real good fishing up there.
So, anyway, you were taking a ride up the river.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks the river's really, really shallow, really hard to navigate. Now, there is one little creek, and it shows the main body of the river going around one side of an island, but you really got to go around the other side, right up by the pastures and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the one point that makes it almost impossible to get from Port Charlotte to Arcadia by water.
Yeah, that's where most people would make a mistake.
Because what they show as the main part of the river is blocked off. It's just all fallen trees and everything. You can't get through it.
Well, you can get through it, but the water's really got to be, when you get up to Horse Creek, there's two sets of iron drums up there, and they're riveted in big sections, about 4 foot long, you know, 4 foot high sections. If you can only see one of the sections, it's plenty deep enough for you to take the main part of the river. But if it's below that and you can see it, then you got to go through the cutoff area, which is a little narrower and
No, you know, I can get through that cutoff on almost any tide, but you've got to be dead slow idle going through there.
Yeah, it's got some under the water hang-ups that are pretty intense.
You go through that first section, it's not too bad as long as you're right dead in the middle.
Yeah.
But once you make the curve and you start getting around and that narrows back up in there, there's trees to the right, and you might be on the left side, then you got to switch to the right. You really got to be able to watch where you're going. And then once you get up past Iron Lake.
Iron Lake would be your next hang up spot, and it wouldn't be because of trees.
I like just the little waterfall there.
Yeah.
I love going over that waterfall because you're going up river, and all of a sudden there you are. And next thing you know, you're 6 inches higher.
Yeah.
And you can pop right up that little waterfall. Right last time I was up there, you could see it.
Yeah.
I mean, the tide was going out, so everything was real low, and there was just enough water coming down river to make about a 6-inch difference.
Yeah. Now all you do is you feel more resistance.
Right.
When you hit that spot, the boat flattens out a little bit and you feel a little more resistance.
Yeah, but when it was down low like I was, if you didn't have a jack plate, you weren't getting up there.
Because
we were going through probably 10 inches of water, 11 inches. Now you probably have 4 feet. 4 feet?
4 feet. Well, according to what you just told me right now, there's probably 4 feet across.
Probably four feet across there,
Oh, yeah.
But once you get up past Aaron Lake, you get a few more curves and stuff. But then there's another island up there that's similar to Horse Creek, where the main body of the river is just nasty.
Yep.
And you got to take this little side cutoff that the river created on its own.
That area is pretty well changed again, and it's actually better to go the main river route this now.
Did they cut all the trees out?
Nope. But just there in time, the last couple high water events we've had have pulled them in and pushed them around. And you know, it doesn't take them long to roll them trees down into the river and break them up when they fall in there.
Oh, okay. I couldn't get through there last time I was up there. The trees were all crisscrossed right across the river and couldn't even get through.
No, we didn't have any problems there.
Did you fish there at all?
Did not fish there. We fished up past Arcadia. When we went up past that area there, we fished up around them areas there.
How was the trestle north of Arcadia?
It's always a challenge to go through there, and when it's high enough for you to go through an 18-foot boat like mine, when you come back south, you actually have to back through the trestle is about the best way that you have the most control over your boat, which is kind of freaky for most people when we first do it. They kind of don't know what we're doing, you know.
You go backwards through it.
You have to kind of back through it because that's the only way. If you happen to get out of control, you can just give it a little forward throttle, and you got perfect control of your boat. If you try to back it up, you're all over the place. You got no control, and the boat wants to go with the river current, and it'll suck you into the pilings of the river, of the bridge, you know, and you know. So
I'll have to make the ride up there with you. Did you fish the trestle at all?
No, we didn't fish the trestle too much. Like I said, we fish usually north of that area. There's a lot of good trees in the curves that are way exposed when the water's on a lower time. You can see how many big, you know, oak tree root balls are up there. So, but we fished those areas up there, and like I said, we caught quite a few snook this time. Most of them didn't really look fat. I wouldn't say they were fat, but they were healthy. You know, the bass.
Well, they're not supposed to be fat. They're done spawning. They're supposed to be hollow bellied. Well,
you know, when we go up there,
anorexic.
When we go up on fossil hunt in the wintertime, you'll find them landlocked in corners. You know, where like there's a limestone ledge on one side. We had to pull the boat over, and then there's a limestone ledge on the north side, and these snook will be stuck in there, and they look like nails. You know, big head and long body, but no meat on them at all. You know.
Yeah, just waiting to get somewhere where they can actually eat.
Again. Yeah. Well, they've eaten everything out of that corner. You don't see anything else but them there.
Right. You know. So anyway, all in all, the river's been pretty interesting. Productive for fish, though.
Not real productive. Well, I mean, it's been fun because we've been getting like more tarpon and stuff like that up there, and the tarpon are fun because, you know, this time of year you get the 30 pounders. They do the nice jumps and stuff, and they're
a lot
not
more
too
acrobatic
much to,
than the big ones,
and not too much to handle. You know, somebody can take it out, and they can take a picture of it and put them right back in the water. It's not like you got that 100-something pounder, you know.
Right.
And I've hooked a few of them up there, but you know, generally they run me out of line and they spit the lure at the end. Thank goodness, and I reel everything back. But I haven't brought too many of them to the side of the boat. They're a little squirrely up there. They're a little crazy.
So basically, if you're going to head up river, where would you go? How far up would you go to look for tarpon?
You can start trolling right at the navigator ramp as soon as you put the boat in. Throw a bomber out the back or X-Rap, whatever you got. You know, if it's chrome or gold, chances are it's probably going to get you something.
Yeah, you don't want anything that dives more than 4 foot, though.
No,
bring it back.
Yeah, you've got to really start to know the river when you do the deep diving lures, because really only the curves are what's really, really deep. But
yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I guess as we're going round and round, Kale, you were out doing a shark trip the other day?
Yeah, I've been out the last couple days on shark trips.
And so what's been going on with the shark trips?
Lots and lots of little black tips out there. Cool. There is just a pile. It doesn't matter what hole you go to. Sit out, throw your chum bag out, wait a couple minutes. And yesterday it was within, I think, 2 minutes we had black tips. I mean, tiny black tips, a foot to 2 feet.
Oh, just this year's hatch.
Yeah, they just hatched this year.
So, yeah, and for those of you out there, yes, sharks are great eating, but when they're 18, under 18 inches long, don't bother. There isn't enough meat to do anything with. Let them get up 2-3 feet long before you start really messing with them for food. But now, so what went on? You just went out to the middle of harbor, or we went up the river?
We went out to the bottom hole.
So down by Pirate Harbor.
Down by Pirate Harbor. And all the holes are holding these little black tips. We went down to the bottom hole because we kind of hoped to get a bigger shark and or a cobia with it. We saw one cobia go by. It was in a hurry. It didn't stop. It didn't say hello. It just went right
Sorry,
on
no
by.
Time. See you later. Bye. Yep.
Sayonara.
We didn't even have time to cast at it. But there's a lot of activity out there in that bottom hole. There's tons of small jacks, tons of catfish.
Hey, we're shark fishing. We gotta have drag sounds,
we
right?
We had constant schools of stingrays going by. Not a whole lot of bait. The bait seems to be up above.
Yeah.
Your big threadbies are a little bit more up above.
Where?
We were there in the latter half of the incoming tide, so they were from Pirate Harbor on up.
So, where were the sharks? Did you find any big ones?
Oh, yeah.
Anything like we this had, where it'd be scary? I got scary music playing. Yeah. Where is the big scary stuff?
We had about a 7-foot bowl to the shark. That's or to the boat. Size.
Had a 7-foot bowl to the shark.
To the shark.
Okay. How big a boat was it?
Unfortunately, we pulled the hook. Hook straightened out right at the side of the boat.
Yeah, but once you get them up to the side of the boat, it's pretty much good as God and good as not.
I would much rather have the hook pull on a big bull shark than have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I don't trust them.
Nope. And
we got to help Carl out. He was fishing beside us. He got about a 7-foot lemon to the boat.
Cool.
And gave him a hand getting it to the boat and getting it undone. The guy wanted some pictures with it. And two people dealing with it is a lot better. A
lot easier.
Carl's experience is more on the redfish side of the house, so I went over to help him and show him, you know, the easiest way to deal with a lemon shark, which is to usually roll it onto its back. Hard part is rolling it onto its back.
I was going to say, now what do you do? Grab him by the nose and swirl him around?
No, you grab the leader.
And lose your arm?
I grab the leader.
No doubt.
Okay.
And pull him up above me, grab a pectoral fin, and, roll her onto her back. If you can get her onto her back, she will pretty much lay there and go dormant. They go into a tonic shock when you roll them onto their back.
Yeah, I'd probably, if anybody rolled me on my back right now, I'd probably tonic shock myself.
Yeah, but the hard part is
I'd just be in shock anybody wanted to do it.
Yeah, right.
The hard part is actually doing that.
Yeah, I bet.
There was one point where, I got covered with water. All I saw was water and teeth, and I told Carl, I said, I'll be honest with you, I thought I was a goner there.
I bet.
But
what happened?
It just decided that it didn't.
But I mean, what were you
handled.
Doing? What were you doing?
I was trying to roll it over onto its back. I had a hand on the leader.
You grab the leader. You
grab
pulling
her,
it.
Grab her pectoral
onto the gunnel fin.
No.
That's when
doing
she didn't
right
like
in the
it.
Water. Doing it right
okay,
in the water.
So
we're leaning over the boat.
So you're holding the leader in one hand.
Leader in one hand.
Trying to pull the shark away.
Pectoral fin in another.
But now, when you pull the leader, doesn't the fish just move?
Yeah, you get her pulled up to you so you can get the back side of that pectoral fin and roll her over.
Okay.
You're basically reaching under the shark and grabbing the other fin.
You are. Not me.
Rolling her over.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm not going to do that.
No. Yeah, I'm thinking. Mike, what do you think?
No, not at all.
Jeff?
No, they're protected.
Yeah, they're protected. I want to be protected from them.
So I'm looking at them thinking I want to be protected also.
But you have to do it quick.
Yeah.
When they're tired, if you just grab the leader, they'll go tail down in the water.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't want them tail down in the water because all it takes is one quick shot of that tail.
Right.
And they're sitting in your lap.
Right. Yes.
So yeah. You try and get it rolled over as fast as you can. Get the hook out. We actually took two hooks out of her that day. She cool. had somebody else's circle hook.
Well, that's good.
Stuck in the corner of her mouth.
Another good reason for you to actually follow through with it. And
yeah. And we attempted to tag her. Murphy said no.
Yeah, right. Well, okay, that's okay.
What happened?
At least you got all five of your fingers on both hands, so that's good.
I pulled the tagging stick out and went to raise it up to tag her, and whoop, the tag fell in the water.
Mm.
Well, you know.
Premature tagging.
Yeah.
Nice. So now I get to report to Noah that I lost one of their tags.
It'll be easy to ping off, though. It won't be moving anywhere. It'll be staying in the same place.
Yeah, that one stuck in the bottom there.
Yep. Yeah.
When they come by and they notice that shark's not moving a lot.
Yeah. It's not dead. It's just not tagged.
Now, those tags, is that something you get? You had to apply for? Or?
Yeah, it's something I applied for through Noah. They send you five tags at a time, and each tag has a card that you fill out.
Right.
It's actually...
Lemon shark, 6 feet.
Yeah, they actually want a lot of data.
Yeah.
You know, they want length to the fork, length to the tail. You have to sex the shark. Is it male or female?
Okay. You have to have sex with the shark?
No. No.
You have to sex the shark. Sex the shark.
Yes.
So does that mean like rolling your eyes and batting your eyelids and, you know?
No, that's foreplaying the shark.
Oh, that's foreplaying the shark. Okay. I'm just sitting here going,
I know when they sex a chicken, they squeeze it.
Yes.
So do you do that with the
shark?
No.
Okay. Thank God. You can tell what it is right off the bat.
It has its male genitalia hanging right out there for you to see.
Correct.
Now, the male genitalia is actually like two prongs.
Yeah, it looks like two extra fins on the bottom of the shark almost. And if they're not there, then it's a female.
Right.
If they are there, it's a male. Right. It's actually very easy to tell.
Yeah, but they have like doubles. They're not like mammals have one. They have two.
They have two.
I guess in case you miss or something.
Yeah, because they can wrap around. When a shark mates with a female, they actually kind of halfway wrap around the center of her body. Well, if you only had one, you'd have to wrap around the same direction every time. So if you have two, now it doesn't matter what direction you wrap around her, you're getting the job done.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's way more than I need to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of information. It's a little weird, but quite honestly, it makes some sense. I mean, if you're coming around and, you know, you've got to go around the side of, you know, your mate, it does make sense.
Yeah. But so,
whether you're left-handed or right-handed, it works either way.
Yeah, right.
But
exactly.
It was a good day. It was a good trip. Everybody had fun. We caught probably over a dozen little black tips for the kids that they thought this was great.
It's and nice how old were your kids on the boat?
They were, I want to say.
Do you really want to say
10 and 15? I think.
Well, that's
They got to hold a shark. They got to feel it. They got to see the difference between male and female.
Isn't it amazing the first time somebody holds a shark? Yeah. Whether they're 10 years old or 50 years old, you hand them a shark for the first time. A, they're looking at you like, no way, white man. Sorry, Kimosabi, me out of here.
It takes a lot of convincing
to
get people to do it. And the first time, and I'll ask them, have you ever held a shark before? No. Okay, this one we do over the side of the boat. Because inevitably, they're going
to
drop it.
Right. He's going to start to move, and they're going to freak out.
Then it's Latin dancing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And they drop it for one of two reasons. Either they're not ready for the strength.
Yeah, they do have a lot of strength.
Or they just freak out
and
want it out of their hands.
Yeah. So better to drop it in the water than on the boat.
Yeah, drop it in the water. That way we're not hurting the shark. That way we don't... because...
Kids sharks
can swim. Sharks can swim on the deck of a boat
they can.
Almost
pretty
as
good
as
yeah,
they
yeah.
can in the
yeah.
water
yeah.
if they want to.
Yeah.
But, you know, people don't realize the shark skin and how it feels smooth in one direction and rough in the other. And you get to see all these things during Shark Week. But, you know, how often does somebody in Ohio get to hold a shark?
And that's
or
the
rub
thing
shark
we take for granted
like
a lot of times because we catch a lot of them. So it's always something, you realize it's special to them.
Yeah.
What I really enjoy about it is that the shark has the most aerodynamic skin of anything.
Right.
Nothing is as aerodynamic as
hydrodynamic.
A shark. Hydrodynamic or aerodynamic. They built a stealth bomber
based on
molding shark skin, and it literally feels the exact same way as a shark, smooth one way and rough the other. it's the most hydrodynamic, aerodynamic surface there is, and it's really cool to feel that. And when somebody grabs them, they don't understand. It won't slip down. If you put the head down, it will slide right out of your hand. Right, but as long as the head's up, you can hold on to that shark. You always got to keep the head elevated, and always let go of the head first.
Always. Never hold the tail. No. Never hold the tail.
Always let go of the head. Tail first. Yeah, tail first. Yeah, hold the head till second. Let go of the head second.
I had a picture of that shark by the tail going doing this.
Yeah.
And they can swing around most of the time and bite their tail. That's why one of these guys walking them out into the water one night, they're going to find out.
They're going to get tagged.
They're going to find out. And everybody's going to be, oh my God, you shouldn't do this. Well, I would bet right now there's probably been 3,000 sharks released and walked back out in the water.
Yeah.
And why nobody's been bit so far, I have no idea. What is it they say? God protects fools, drunks, and small children?
Yeah.
You know, because that's got to fall in there somewhere.
It does, I think a lot of it is the shallow water, too. You know, I think that kind of prevents them from swinging around. I mean, a boke is kind of nice. You have that first 5 or 6 feet where it's only a few inches deep, and then it drops way off.
Yeah,
and you can walk them out to that ledge and let them go.
Have a little bit of security there.
They don't want to swing back, and when they're on the shallow water, they can't swing back because they're supporting their own weight.
And a lot of the sharks are probably about spent by the time they get them to the water back again after unhooking them and doing what they got to do. So,
but that's the thing. All it takes is one twitch.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it doesn't take a whole lot of energy to make that one twitch.
When we caught our first shark in Everglades City and put it on the boat with Cindy's friends there, they were immediately on the other side of the boat. They were all up for right there until he came in the boat, and then it was like, oh my God.
How far can I get away from this?
And that's, they were pretty much at the railing.
That's the fun thing about catching big shark.
Yeah.
You know, when that guy brings it to the side of the boat, and I'm waiting on the side of the boat to get the leader, I'll feel the side of that boat drop 3 or 4 inches as everybody comes over to look until it comes up.
And then all of a sudden,
and you feel the boat lift back up.
And it's out of your reach again.
Yeah, because they all went to the other side of the boat once they saw it.
You all didn't have to run over there.
You know, they all have the delusions of grandeur when we go shark fishing that we're going to catch a big shark.
Yeah. And then when it happens,
that's the thing. They're not ready for the reality of being a foot away. It's different in an aquarium where you know you've got a foot thick glass between you and
when
that
he takes and slides back on himself and that head comes right up along the rub rail and goes past them, and they're like, oh,
your perception changes when you go from a foot of glass to a quarter inch of fiberglass. It's a whole different story.
Wide-eyed.
Well, you know, one of the cool things about today, and we did kind of a mixed match show, but it does show you the versatility of Southwest Florida. Jeff, riding up the rivers, I mean, he goes way up these rivers and into the creeks and everything else. He's riding from Port Charlotte all the way up past Arcadia. And so you've got the rivers and the fishing in the rivers. And then you got Mike, who was doing the bridges and close by canals. And it's anchoring up and fishing and, you know, working a little bit of the mangroves, but mostly right around the bridges and stuff, because of the storms that day and the fishing you have there. And then Kale, who's out in the middle of the open harbor, looking for the sharks and doing stuff like that. So in three guys, all three went out fishing, and all three did something different, caught fish, and there's so many different experiences. And we didn't touch on the Gulf or the beaches or anything else or the flats. Nobody went back on the flats.
No.
But this, to me, is one of the reasons why Charlotte Harbor is one of the best places in the world to be and to be fishing, because the diversity is just crazy. And you can walk up. We talked about bass today.
Yeah.
We've got freshwater canals, saltwater canals, flats fishing on the saltwater, flats fishing in the harbor. Freshwater fishing in ponds and lakes and rivers, and then getting out to the open harbor and then to the open Gulf. I'm just always amazed at the diversity and how cool this area is. I mean, all three of you guys went fishing, all three of you had a great time, and not even close to the same thing.
It's hard to explain to people when you say, well, you can catch anything from bass to dolphin.
Yeah,
it doesn't say a lot saying that to somebody who doesn't understand it. Yeah. Take them out, start upriver, catch bass, and work your way all the way out to the dolphin.
Yeah.
And it blows their mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, to get out to the Mahi Mahi, we're talking about changing boats, though.
So. Right.
Yeah,
right.
We got to change boats for this. Because once you're taking upriver, you're not going to go do good in the Gulf. I think the biggest mistake down here people make is they always come down with the idea, I want a boat big enough for the Gulf, but small enough for the harbor.
Yeah.
Well, I think they
hard one
they
to
do. They
just
get in a hurry. Yeah. Well, they finally retired. They've finally gotten rid of the kids. They've finally gotten rid of the grandkids. They're excited to move here because most people that move here enjoy fishing.
And right. Why else would you come here? Right. There's nothing else to do.
That's why they came.
You know, we do have a couple of golf courses and some tennis courts and stuff like that. And
I hear it on my educational trips all the time. Oh, I was just in a hurry. I was excited. I had to get a boat. And right. they don't realize this isn't Lake Erie.
Yeah. And the problem is IOs and inboards don't work here at all.
No, they don't.
No.
But if you're down here, you buy a boat to do one thing. The best idea is hire a captain, hire Kale or one of the guys, and get out there and see what you're up against first. Because if you were smart enough to make enough money where you can move to Florida and retired, you're smart enough to make a good decision.
Do a little more research.
But not without information. Yeah, right. No one can make a good decision without the information.
Take a backwater charter out. Take an offshore charter out.
And join a boat club.
Join a boat club. See what you want to do fishing-wise. Then start shopping.
But get a boat that does one thing really well. It'll still do the other things.
Sure.
But not
everything.
Trying to get a boat that does all that stuff.
Right. Go to the boat ramps in the afternoon and talk to the charter captains that come in. Because every last charter captain will be more than happy to praise the things that he likes about his boat.
Sure.
And he'll also be the first one to complain about the things that he doesn't like.
I'm going to put it in the opposite order. They're going to be the first ones to complain.
Yeah.
And they're going to complain. And once you listen to all the complaining, then you're going to get around to the good stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
But doing that, it helps you make the decision on the right boat to buy.
And it kind of holds true for almost anywhere. The big thing is don't try and get a boat that does everything because it will do nothing well. And get a boat that does what you want it to do really well. And you can even take a small boat out to fish the reefs. We got Novak, Trembly. We got very reefs that are a mile and a half, 3 miles out. You're in sight of land.
August, September, I've taken my boat out about 6 miles.
I've been out to the boxcars and had pontoon boats pull up.
Yeah.
Right.
So
some people are just not too bright. We fall back on God protects fools, drunks, and small children, you know.
The pontoon boat better than the 12-foot John boat then.
This is true.
You know. Yeah.
But well anyway, anything anybody gotta say to wrap up or do anything?
Go fishing as early as you can in the morning. It's the coolest time of the day, it's summer. Bring a lot of drinks with you, more than you think you'll need.
Oh, and Captain Kale, Robert, and myself will be at Luigi's on August. You can come either August, I think it's 12th or 13th. Yeah, the August 12th or August 13th, we're at Luigi's. We're going to be doing a whole thing on fall fishing, and you can come and hear us go on about that. Nice thing, it's more of a dinner and a show.
Yeah.
You don't have to sit in just in a chair. You're at a table. You can order food and drinks off the menu. You order it. You pay for it. I'm a nice guy, but I ain't that dang nice. Yeah. Well, I'm probably not even that nice anyway. But, Camp Mike, any last words?
No, I can't think of a thing.
Yeah. Excellent.
Hey. It went completely blank there when you said that.
Just got to stop. Yeah. Back then, let's see. We're going to have to say hi to South Carolina, Michigan, Indiana,
Colorado.
Colorado.
Yeah.
I think that covers them, doesn't it?
I believe so now. Yeah. In Venice.
In Venice. Yeah. Okay. Hey. Yeah. In Venice. So, anyway, anybody have anything to wrap up with?
Just to reiterate what Jeff said. Make sure you're hydrating out there.
Yeah.
I can't stress it enough. I drank half a case of water on my own yesterday.
Even with the Bimini top, when we stopped the boat, we were automatically hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just drink a lot. Keep yourself safe.
Yeah.
Try and get out as early as you can and try and be off the water before 2 o'clock.
Because the rain.
2 o'clock. Well, not even the rain. It's the heat.
Yeah.
Between 2 and 5, it is actually
miserable.
The hottest time of the day.
Miserable and almost dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's miserable, almost dangerous in that heat between 2 and 5. But if you can get out early in the morning and then get back in before 2 o'clock, and then if you want to go back out after 5. So. Anyway,
yeah, night trips have been good too lately too.
Oh yeah, night fishing.
Night fishing.
Well, we'll get on that with the next show. A little bit more about night fishing.
Cool.
Anyway, this is Fish and Frank in the chair. We got Jeff across from me in the chair. We got Captain Kale with the bubbliest microphone. And we've got Captain Mike on the other side. What do you think? He said he wanted a foam cover.
There you go.
I saw him usually leaning on it, so that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I can do that now. Yeah. I couldn't do it before because the grape on the microphone grabbed my mustache.
Like the soda tap.
Well, I guess on that, I got nothing to say now. I think Bobby's done, and so am I. So we'll see you guys in the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.